And if you take your Bibles once again and turn to Romans chapter 5, find our scripture reading as we look at the first 11 verses there, page 997 in your pew Bibles if you're using those today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Don't you love turning on the news and hearing all the good things that are happening in our world today? It seems the closest that we can get to good news is some of the not so bad news in the midst of the really bad news. And as we look around our world, it seems that things are getting bleaker every day. It is really getting hard to be an optimist. But it does seem strange. For with all the advances that we have in technology, medicine, and psychology, one would think that we would be getting better all the time. Instead, we have the panic over the COVID-19 virus. We find increasing violence, mental disorders, and suicides. People are becoming more discontented as they look at a future that doesn't show much promise. It appears that man's attempt of playing God has not been so successful. The truth is, we live in a sin-filled world. And as sin increases, the consequences of sin will also increase. Therefore, the Bible tells us that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There will be plagues and terrible natural disasters take place all over the world. It's pretty clear that our world is headed toward a violent end. So the scientists and the politicians tell us that we must preserve our planets. We have to reduce our carbon footprint and have tolerance for one another. However, we're not going to save the world by going green and learning to coexist. Wind turbines and solar panels do not address the root cause of the world's demise, and neither will increased tolerance produce peace. The downfall of mankind originated with sin, and sin is still the root of all death and destruction. Therefore, as long as sin rules in this world, the world will continue its downward spiral toward destruction, in spite of all man's feeble attempts to make it better. The sense of hopelessness that is so prevalent in the world is real. We cannot find hope in the world. But this does not mean that all is hopeless. We have been granted access to the grace which enables us to stand in the midst of all the tribulations of this world. Mankind has made his choice, and we are reaping the consequences of that choice. However, God has provided for us the means by which we are able to choose again. He gave his Son to defeat sin and the death and the destruction that it produces. And Jesus is also the propitiation for our sin. So in him we have forgiveness and the cleansing of all sin. That is grace. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In our sinful state, we cannot reach up to God. We cannot be good enough to stand in God's holiness. We cannot work hard enough to earn our salvation. So, when we could not reach up to God, he reached down to us. When we could not be good enough to stand in his holiness, he imparted his holiness to us. And when we could not work hard enough to earn our salvation, God gave us the gift of eternal life. There is no basis of hope in the world. Therefore, it always brings disappointment. But God's gift of hope that we have in Christ goes beyond this world. Paul presents this hope to the Romans, and he gives us the foundation of hope, the process of hope, and the source of hope. First, we have the foundation of hope. The foundation of hope. What is our hope based upon? For anything to endure, it must have a solid foundation. Jesus told the parable about a wise and foolish builders. And he said that the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sifting sand. And he compared those two to buildings of when the storms of life comes upon them. And he says that the house that was built upon the sand, that had no firm foundation, that when the storms came, that the house collapsed. But the house that was built upon the rock, it says, was able to withstand the storms of life. And so for hope to endure, it must have a solid foundation. It must have a solid foundation. And Paul tells us that faith is the basis for our hope. Faith is the foundation that we are able to put our hope upon. And we must remember that faith goes beyond belief. Faith is not just believing in something, but it's believing in something in such a way that we act upon it. Faith is trusting God because of who he is, in spite of our circumstances. Now, there's so many times when people have a great faith in God when things are going well, when everything is smooth, but then when the rough waters come, all of a sudden their faith starts to recede and they start to fear, like the disciples on the boat. You know, Jesus was with them, but he was asleep. And when the storm came about, all of a sudden they felt like they were going to be lost. And they woke Jesus up and he said, don't you care that we are about to die? And Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith." You see, Jesus already told them that they were going across the lake. And if you told them that they were going across the lake, they were going to make it across the lake. Jesus said that he would never leave us or forsake us. And it is through faith, then, that we are able to receive God's grace by which we are saved. For it is by faith that you are saved through grace, and that is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. See, by faith, we have the assurance that Christ did indeed defeat sin and death. Paul says that Christ died for the ungodly. He paid that price. And he says, since he was willing to pay the price while we were still sinners, while we were still separate from him, he says, once we are saved, how much more will he continue to be with us? He won't desert us. And that we know that sin is no longer controlling our lives. And so hope is found in being free from the condemnation of sin. Jesus paid the price. And so we are no longer under condemnation, but instead our relationship with God has been restored. There's an aspect of the Gospels that I realized one day that all of a sudden my eyes were just kind of open to it. And that is, as you go through it, you find Jesus' relationship with the disciples take different steps. You know, they are students, they are learners, you know. And then as they progress along, they become servants. There, and Jesus is their, he starts out as their teacher, then he's their master. But then he gets to the place, he says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And so they gain a relationship with him. And then finally, after his death and resurrection, they become co-heirs. They become his brothers and sisters. See, we were created to have a personal relationship with God. But sin has separated us from God. And through the death of Christ, we are able to regain that relationship. And therefore, through this restored relationship with God, we are able to receive his peace. Now, we know that we live in a world of conflict. We live in a world of trials and tribulations. Right now, we're living in a world of hysteria. But we can still have peace. We can still know peace in our hearts. It's not anything that mankind can do, because mankind, our history has taught us that mankind cannot establish lasting peace. Oh, through the years, from the beginning of the recorded historical times, they've had conflicts and wars and battles, and then they've drawn up peace treaties to end these battles and only to begin another one. Only in Christ can we find true peace, because we must look beyond ourselves to find lasting peace. We must have that peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we have peace within. And that gives us hope. And so faith is the foundation of our hope. We also find that the process of hope. Paul gives us the process by which we obtain this hope. Because hope isn't instantaneous. It builds on how we relate to our circumstances. You know, it's not that sometimes that we wake up some morning and just realize that we're just full of hope. Yeah. No, there's a process that we have to go through. How we relate to the circumstances that we find ourselves in produces the hope that we have. And we find in these passages here that God uses that which brings despair to the world to bring hope to those who follow him. God is able to use the very things that cause despair in the world to bring hope to those who follow him. And so we find that hope then begins in tribulation. It begins with tribulation. Now, nobody in their right mind, nobody that's totally sane, enjoys trials and tribulations. Nobody enjoys hardships that we have to go through. But we should never think that because we are Christians and that we are doing our best to follow Jesus that we are not going to experience trials and tribulations. They're going to be a part of our lives. And Charlie mentioned in Sunday school, and I think we could all relate to that. So, you know, the worst week of his life was a week after he'd been saved. Because that's when Satan is going to attack us most. And trials and tribulations and hardships and sorrow and suffering, all these things are a part of our world. And as long as we are living in this world, we will be affected by them. However, Jesus tells us that he has overcome the world. So that if we turn these circumstances over to him, he will use our tribulations then to help us to grow in our faith and to grow in our hope. For in Christ's hands, tribulations produces patience. Tribulations produce patience, and that's something that is greatly lacking in our world today. Our world is not headed toward greater and greater patience, but rather just the opposite. People are becoming more impatient all the time. And so we need patience. Or perseverance. And that is the calm endurance that which we desire to be removed but cannot be. It's not the stoic determination that comes from pride that says, you know, I'm going to see this through no matter what. But rather it's trusting Jesus. It's having the attitude of Job there, the saying, you know, even though he slays me, I will trust in him. It's recognizing that God never changes, that he is the same God in the time of blessings that he is in the times of trials. It's remembering that he already knows where we're going and that he's already been there. And as one song puts it, he already sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. And that he has a purpose and a plan for us in and through these. And this perseverance then builds character. It builds character. Now the word that's translated character or experience in the King James Version there is the same word translated proof in 2 Corinthians 13:3, where Paul writes, "Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me." And so this perseverance builds the proof of God working in our lives. Our character is the proof that Christ dwells within us. He is the proof, or it, our character is the proof that Christ dwells in our lives. See, Christ changes us. Now, we get the people, you know, the don't judge me crowd, you know. Says, you know, one of their things is that God accepts me just as I am. And it's true, he does. But when we turn to him, he doesn't leave us as we were. He changes us. He molds us. And part of the change that is wrought is through the trials that we face, those trials that produce patience and builds characters so that we become more like Jesus. Therefore, the trials and tribulations should not cause us to despair, but rather to remind us of the hope that we have in Christ, knowing that he has overcome the world and that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so the process of hope is through the trials of life. And then there's the source of hope. The source of hope. Where does this hope come from that we have? Paul says the source of hope is centered in the love of God. It's centered in the love of God. And there is nothing greater than the love of God. Look at verses 6 through 8 again, where he says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He's telling us here that God's love goes beyond the highest form of love in this world. There's nothing that is greater than God's love. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Paul tells us that, you know, can life or death, now my mind just went blank on all the list things that he has, you know. In nothing in all the universe, in all of heaven or on earth, can separate us from the love of God. And so since our hope is centered in the love of God, our hope is as secure as God's love. Our hope is as secure as God's love. And nothing in heaven and earth can diminish God's love for us. and nothing can diminish our hope in Him. Now, if our hope was based in our love for God, then we might have room for concern, because sometimes that comes up a little short. But God's love for us never comes up short. And this love is manifested in us through the Holy Spirit. Through His Holy Spirit, that comforter that Jesus promised His disciples who would be with them and would be in them. I know it falls short of explaining just the full complexity of the Holy Spirit, but one of the descriptions I have heard of the Holy Spirit is that He is God in the present tense. He is God in the present tense. He is with us now. He will always be with us. The Holy Spirit is God with us and God in us. He is God with us and in us. And since the very essence of God is love, we have that love with us and we have that love in us. Therefore, we do not lose hope. We do not lose hope because of His love for us. And the Holy Spirit then, as He indwells us, He empowers us that we might endure the trials of life. He empowers us that we might be overcomers in the temptations that we face. He empowers us that we might know comfort in the midst of the sorrows that come our way. He guides us according to God's plan for our lives. He shows us each step that we need to take along the way. And if we tend to get off the trail, he guides us, He nudges us back into the right place again. The right path. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding so that we know the voice of Christ, the voice of the Good Shepherd there, and are willing to follow Him. He gives us understanding of God's Word and how it relates to our day-to-day lives. And it's all because of God's love for us that He sent His only Son to pay the penalty for our sins and to give us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. God's love for us is the source of our hope. The Bible tells us not to think that it's strange that we face trials and persecutions in this world. We strive to be righteous in a sinful world. We are light in the midst of darkness. Everything that we stand for is in direct opposition to the values of the world. So it only makes sense that we are going to face trials and persecutions in this world. But we serve one who is greater than the world. Therefore, Paul wrote to the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, so that in all this we have hope." Apart from Christ, hope is merely wishful thinking. And because man's thinking is flawed, it always ends in disappointment. People tend to look at isolated events, but God looks from eternity to eternity. And we may have to struggle through some hard times in our lives, but that does not mean that we lose hope. Our hope is secure. It's secured in the unfailing love of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great love that you demonstrated to us. That when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in this. A hope that sustains us through all the circumstances of our lives. We truly know that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. And Lord, in this time that we are facing, help us to be able to display that hope in such a way that others will seek to find a reckoning, Lord, to know the reason behind the hope that was in us, and give us opportunity to be able to share your great love with them. And Lord, we pray that you would be uplifted and glorified in all that we do and say. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.